Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, buzzed in on your motorcycle today.
I did. I know. It's take advantage of it as we can.
And okay. Well, hey, we want to talk, continue this discussion of looking at legacy and kind of the three-pronged approach, the monetary, spiritual, and personal. You want to kind of review that a little bit and get into, I think, the spiritual a little bit more this week.
Yeah, we've talked about monetary. And, of course, as an estate planner, I think about spiritual as well. But maybe there's a little bit of an eclectic mix in my brain as we pull out, because estate planning really deals with how do we move our wealth from ourselves to the next generation in a very clear order, right? Most people want a smooth transition when they talk to me. That's one of their highest values. Mm-hmm. I don't want to just leave a mess behind.
Right. Right.
And so people do estate planning to make sure that there's a smooth transition. Things can move from one generation to the next as clean as possible. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen all that often, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked about many different things on this show about stories of when, even with planning, that really didn't end up being what happened. So we need good planning and consistent planning for a smooth transition. It's not a one-and-done deal. Unfortunately, that's the mentality. I've got my document. I'm all done. So monetary legacy is really thinking about what are your values around money? If we could talk to our children or our grandchildren and say, this is my value of money, and I want to leave those values of how I think about money or why I conserved money or how I utilize my finances to build the kingdom of God, those are the things that need to attach in an estate plan so that there's a monetary legacy. So monetary legacy is not just about leaving a certain dollar value. Mm. It's about the value of what we are leaving to be able to pass it from one generation to another so that the next generation can appreciate the value that's left behind or utilize it in a way that God has spoken to you that with your last act of stewardship, which is, here, I'm going to be a steward over what God has given me, and I'm going to give instructions with that stewardship, not to control, but to encourage, not to mandate, but to spur on to good action and to excite somebody about building the kingdom. So then we move into spiritual legacy. Well, what does that look like? Well, we breezed over it a little bit on our last show. And of course, you can get all our past podcasts at legacyandfaith.com. But we really didn't have a real deep conversation. And so I wanted to take that up a little bit. But remember, the monetary is being mixed in with the spiritual with this conversation. So it's not just a pure spiritual conversation, because I'm an estate planner and I deal with finances. So what does it mean to leave a spiritual legacy as we think about estate planning and work it into the estate planning plan? The estate planning plan. That's really great. The estate plan. Hell, that's much better. There we go. Boy, it's almost like live radio. So how do we work in that spiritual quality to all of this?
Well, Proverbs 13:22 is kind of a foundational scripture then for this spiritual plan. And how does that go again?
Yeah, definitely. And again, as the estate planning brain thinks about it, that scripture says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So I want to spend a little bit of time and kind of pull that apart.
Okay.
So here we go. So leaving an inheritance takes faith. And so we got to find places to where this journey of faith that we're on and where this journey and our this love affair with Jesus Christ can be left and memorialized more than just here is a dollar value and I want to make sure the bank account gets moved. Anybody can do that. That's not a legacy. Legacy is really attaching value and worth and stories to what we are leaving behind. So if we look at Proverbs, there's a spiritual aspect of the verse as we take a deeper look into it. But, I mean, first thing first, that word inheritance is literally translated from a Hebrew word called money. And so it really does, this scripture is talking about finances. It's talking about leave money to your children's children. So if we look at that scripture, some of us may feel, unfortunately, even condemned, which is, I've never had a lot of money, so I can't fulfill this scripture. That's okay. Some of us are still in our earning years, and maybe we have a possibility to fulfill this scripture. And so let's take a quick look at it. But in order to think about passing wealth to the next generation, it is going to take a journey of faith. I don't want to get trapped in the thought process of work harder, work in the world, work the world's way in order to gain wealth. That is not what a biblical viewpoint of gaining wealth is about, not even close. That's what we want to stay away from. Unfortunately, that's kind of how we're trained. We're trained to work hard. We're trained to come to work every day. We're trained to look at the market or do things in the world's system to try to pull in wealth and take care of our family. But I want to take a look at Deuteronomy 8:18, because it says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day." So, question for us today. What is God's purpose in allowing us the power, according to Deuteronomy, the power to get wealth? Because we need to look at this and then reconnect it back to Proverbs. So, the scripture starts in Deuteronomy by saying, remember the Lord your God. So, in everything we do, we must give our attention back to Jesus Christ. We must give our attention back to the Lord. This actually reminds me of James 1:17. It says, every good gift, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So when connecting these scriptures back to Proverbs 13:22, that one states by saying a good man. So we need to stop and look at this scripture. A good man. What is being a good man? Well, it's one who's dedicated to Jesus Christ. It's one who is dedicated to his Lord and Savior. It's one who acknowledges Christ's goodness and power as the source of every good and perfect gift. It's our heart's cry to turn back to our Lord and Savior instead of being caught up in this rat race of trying to get money. So in everything that we talk about in leaving a monetary and spiritual legacy, I believe that they are intimately tied together, because the scripture first starts with a good man. And Deuteronomy starts with remember the Lord your God. And so these scriptures tell us where our heart is supposed to be in relationship to everything else that we have in this world. After our heart is set right, now we can take a look at the next portions of the scripture. So the next portion of Deuteronomy 8:18 says that he's given us the power to get wealth. So that, what? So that God's covenant may be established. It's not so that I can build my kingdom. It's not so I can pad my bank account. And really, it's not even so I can give a bunch of money to my kids. It is so God can establish his covenant here on earth. And that has been realized through the new covenant of Jesus Christ. So the work of the cross has been done. And now as our hearts are continually thankful towards the Lord, as our hearts are established in him, now we can receive from our Heavenly Father every good and perfect gift which comes from above. And so acknowledging Christ and the power of the cross as being that source, that keeps our heart in check. So when we come back to Proverbs 13, Why would the scripture say that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children? Well, because our Heavenly Father wants good, godly men and women to utilize what he has blessed them with for kingdom purposes, because we're still establishing God's covenant. And now it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to utilize that power to get wealth for his purposes. And as godly men and women do this, they become the examples for their children. We raise up our children in the ways of the Lord, and they see the example of what we are doing, and they take on who we are. It's amazing how much my girls are like my wife and how much they are like me. For better or for worse, they are like both of us.
About equal, would you say?
Yeah.
Equally
we have,
like you and your wife?
We really have one of each, so it's not equal in each of them. Okay. It's like one child is exactly like me and one child is exactly like my wife.
Okay.
So yes, we got to the 50% mix. So our girls have watched and duplicated what my wife and I have done. Some of it is great. Some of it, darn it. I wish they would have not followed that one. So that's the humanness part of raising kids, right? So as our children have watched us, my hope and my passion is that they take on a lot of what our passion for Christ is and the generosity that we show through our lives, so that when they think about their finances, because we have demonstrated tithing and generosity, that those are values that they automatically take on. And thereby, when it's my turn to go home to be with my Heavenly Father and I pass on something to my girls, they will already be well established in their faith and they will be able to duplicate what Proverbs is talking about, that a good man laid up an inheritance for his children's children. It doesn't mean that maybe I don't have all the money in the world to give an equal portion to my grandchildren. Maybe it means that I've passed on everything to my girls and they perpetuate the generosity and the godliness that hopefully I've demonstrated to them. And by that, they continually are blessed by God and they build more and they hand their wealth off to the next generation, freeing them up to actually serve in their mission and in their calling. So this scripture, I think, sometimes is misunderstood, that I got to have so much money. I've got to have $10 million. Otherwise, how am I going to give some to my kids and some to my grandkids? Well, what if we pass a legacy off instead of just money off? And what does that look like if we pass a monetary and a spiritual legacy and they are combined in really good estate planning, so that the vision that God has given us can be communicated and it can be duplicated and it can continue to go forth into a dying world to save more and bring more to the saving grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant this week, how to leave a legacy, monetary, spiritual, personal. I think you're going to continue with some spiritual aspects and then move into personal ideas about legacy here in a minute. People are intrigued by your approach. How did they find out more about your services, Paul?
Well, I mentioned already our past podcasts are at our website, legacyandfaith.com. We also have ways to communicate with us, upcoming educational seminars. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland on the Legacy and Faith Show this week, Paul is exploring spiritual legacy and moving into personal legacy here in just a moment. What does it mean, Paul?
Well, so in wrapping up this thought process of kind of combining the monetary with the spiritual, then moving into personal, the last scripture I want us to think about is 2 Corinthians 9:11, which says that you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So do we see the common theme that we are given to be a blessing? We are given monetary wealth to be generous on every occasion. And again, I'm not talking about millions and millions of dollars. This could be, we have Social Security coming in and that's all we have. What type of generosity mindset are we with what comes into our hands, whether it's a little or a lot? What is our heart's cry after the heartbeat of the Father? Remember the widow's mite? She gave more, even though it was pennies on the dollar compared to the people who had more than enough and were giving stuff because it never touched them personally. So this is not about a dollar value. This is about that when we receive, God has given us the ability to have something come to our hands, and he wants us to have a generous heart, because by a generous heart, others will be watching us, and they will see Jesus in generosity. And so we need faith in order to accomplish that. And that's our spiritual legacy. We need faith to be good, live right, and be faithful. We need faith to raise up the next generation. We need faith to be generous and not get caught up in the ways of this world or making money in the ways of this world. And we need faith to leave an inheritance to our children's children. So all of this is to build God's kingdom so that his covenant may be established on this earth. And that's what we want to do with a monetary and spiritual legacy combined. But we need to speak over those things. We need to leave these instructions. We need to leave these values, not just by action, but also in the written word. And that's what good estate planning can accomplish simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving into what does it mean to leave a personal legacy then?
Yeah, so the personal legacy is really, if I pass away, then I take stories. No one in my family is really into trying to preserve some of the genealogy or where we came from stories or artifacts and things like this. So now, I will admit that I'm not the most into it, but out of my three other brothers, I'm probably the most who thinks about where did we come from and what does that mean to the family and what does that mean to pass on the stories that we have, because we don't have too many stories in my family. We're kind of a family that was more disjointed. My dad's side, three brothers left Scotland. Back in the early 1900s, they were ship painters. So they were painters, and eventually they went around down south of Africa and Cape Horn, and came up and landed in Vancouver, BC. A couple came down into Everett, and lo and behold, here we still are.
Thought you were from the Midwest.
No, I went to law school in Michigan, but I was only there for 6 years to go to law school and accomplish a task. Okay. We were actually, the family is from here. Okay. But even that short story, some people, even some listeners may think, oh yeah, well, what's my story? Or I know more of where my family came from. Oh, I know less. So they're stories that are passed generation to generation. And of course, we have a great gift. It's called the internet. In some ways, it's a great gift that we can do research, and we have ways now to go backwards like we've never had before. But there are still stories that are going to die with me. there's still things that will not be passed on. My stories are valuable to my girls. The older my dad gets, he has a fascinating background. He was a freak athlete down in Tacoma. He's in the Tacoma Hall of Fame, the Softball Hall of Fame, the University of Washington Hall of Fame. I played basketball and baseball. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. As a matter of fact, last week I mentioned that I have a signed Ron Saball, and that was the third baseman for the Dodgers. Well, my kids may not have much value of that because, you know, Ron Say's signature really isn't worth very much. But that ball means a lot to me because it symbolizes growing up with my dad. And then he became a scout for the Philadelphia Phillies. So I would travel with him all over Washington and Oregon, going and looking at potential Major League Baseball players. That was a lot of my childhood. So that baseball is a representation of that. Well, if my girls never know the story or why that's valuable to me, not the monetary, but the personal story about the baseball, then they may look at this and go, well, I don't know what this is, and it may be in a dumpster someday, which is fine. If they don't value the story, then whatever. I mean, if they don't love their father, whatever. But if they know the story of why that is more valuable to me, they are more likely to keep that and continue to perpetuate the stories. So who in your family is the record keeper? Who is the one who holds on to everything? And what is that person going to do with all the family heirlooms? Usually it's one person, usually not all the siblings. Like I said, out of all my siblings, I probably have the greatest degree of desire to learn more about this and to kind of preserve some of the family wealth as it relates to stories. If that is going to be true, then what actions and what steps am I personally taking to get these written down, to get my parents' stories? I'm blessed that they're still alive at the age of 84. So I want their stories, because as soon as they pass away, I can never hear another story from my dad. And I want to capture that more and more. And by the way, every one of us has an interesting story. I woke up and I went to work. What's so interesting about that? Well, what about your childhood? I was driving with some of my team members at the firm, and I just asked a question. I said, tell me your earliest childhood memory. So we all just went in the cars. We were driving back from Bellingham, and it was fascinating. I get such deeper understanding of who they are, and to hear stories. You all have an interesting story, and it deserves to be captured. You all have values that were shaped by those stories, and why you value money or family, or why you value going to church. There's a story behind all those values that you have that the next generation actually wants to capture. Do you know that if you take a survey of 40 and 50-year-olds, do you know that overwhelmingly, not just by a small margin, overwhelmingly, almost 90% of them said that it is more important to have the stories of their parents preserved than any amount of money. So your family wants your story. They want to know what to do with the family heirlooms. They want to know what does it mean that if you were to pass away, what stories do you have of your parents, i.e. my grandparents? Because if my mom and dad pass away, all the stories of my grandparents are lost if I don't know them. And that's perpetuated generation by generation. So how do these get worked in to estate planning? Well, at Planning with Purpose, we have a maintenance program, and it's called the Legacy and Faith. That's my radio show. It's the Legacy and Maintenance program. The legacy is an intentional word in everything I do. And so we need to create plans that are more than just shifting money. We need to capture stories. We need to capture values, whether it is monetary, whether it's spiritually, whether it's personally, so that the estate plan is more robust. So instead of just a dry financial document, it could actually be a place where your kids go to hear your voice again. How much more powerful of an estate plan would that be instead of just simply saying, here's my money, knock yourself out. Look, I can save you taxes. I can do great things to make sure that you never pay an estate tax if that's your heart's desire. That's great, but that's not everything that your kids want. Mm. That's not everything that your grandchildren want. So we need to have a broader view of what legacy means. Legacy is not the bank account. It's you. And so how do we transfer your stories, your values with the estate plan so that when finances are received, that becomes true wealth in the hands of the receiver?
Okay, who knew all of these aspects work into estate planning? But Paul Grant knows that, and he'd like to help you with your estate plan. If people are intrigued by your approach, Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com. As we've said, there's past podcasts, educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
And this is the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.